The next story really takes us into a different frame of mind to the one we actually started the show off with. A very tough court judgment delivered by Judge Hans Fabricius in the High Court this afternoon, the North Gauteng High Court in Pretoria. Essentially, it's all to do with the case of Colin Skoza. And if this name rings a bell, it's because this was a man who lived in Alexandra Township. And shortly after lockdown, what we are given to believe by his family and the witnesses to what happened to him is that his house was stormed by members of the South African National Defence Force who allegedly abused the man, assaulted him to the point that he later died. And this was the reason he was supposedly found with alcohol in his possession in his yard. So he hadn't actually been breaking the law by drinking alcohol in his yard. But it seems as though the SANDF soldiers who were questioned about it never actually gave any explanation as to why they stormed his yard. And it was alleged that in addition to assaulting him, that they had assaulted his wife as well. And of course, Colin Skoza having died a few hours later, this case ended up in court. Now, today, a groundbreaking judgment was handed down by Judge Hans Fabricius. And essentially, one of the things on the most superficial level that he ordered was that the military officers who are implicated in Colin Skoza's killing be put on suspension pending an investigation into his murder. And it's really the least that the courts could order, given that the union, SANDU, had called for those suspensions to take place immediately. After all these weeks, none of that has happened, although an investigation has begun. But it's a far more complex judgment than I'm suggesting. And someone who's been keeping a very close eye on it is my colleague from the mid-morning show, the Eusebius McKaiser show. Eusebius, you've not been on air for a couple of days, so we thought we would drag you back kicking and screaming. But this is this sort of legal, these legal cases are very much your domain in terms of what you study. And you've spent quite a lot of time this afternoon going through the judgment painstakingly. And I want to start off with this most simple aspect, perhaps. You wouldn't think a court would have to affirm the rights of citizens not to be abused by their protectors.
Absolutely. And good afternoon to your listeners, Joanne. It is astounding in a sense that the first part of the court order is a declaratory order, and it asserts several rights. The right to dignity, the right to life, the right not to be tortured, and also to not be subjected to cruel and inhumane forms of treatment and punishment. It also thereafter directs the bosses in the SAPS and the SANDF and their political principals to immediately, within the next 5 to 7 days, also notify members of the SAPS and the SANDF that if they were not to comply with law in terms of which they must operate during the lockdown, that they could be individually liable to criminal, civil sanction, and also to internal disciplinary measures within the SAPS and the SANDF. Now, we can talk about the other parts of the court order, but just stepping back from the ones I've enumerated, it is really a shame that in 2020, we as citizens should go to court in order to have such fundamental rights asserted in a declaratory that we should be able to take for granted.
Yes. I mean, the other part of the court order, of course, reminds the police service and the military that even though they are allowed to exercise their powers and may apprehend people who are breaking the law in terms of the lockdown regulations that have been introduced, that maximum force must not be used in apprehending anyone who's alleged to have done so.
Absolutely, and not in the first instance. The duty in terms of two relevant pieces of law that Judge Fabricius underscores, the SAPS Act, as well as the Act in terms of which the SANDF is supporting the SAPS operationally, in law, demand of members of the SAPS and the SANDF that they use minimal force necessary to execute their duties, Joanne. And that's important. And in tandem with that, perhaps from a sort of newsworthiness point of view, the part of the judgment where lawyers, including progressive lawyers, will most reasonably disagree with each other about whether the judge had gone too far, is that he's even more prescriptive than simply asserting our rights. He also says that immediately we must develop a code of conduct about how the steps are guided in terms of guidelines from their bosses during this lockdown for their behavior. What are the rules for when they can arrest you or me? And crucially, something akin to a hotline must be set up immediately or a similar mechanism so that you and I can report instances of abuse, alleged torture, and the like. And thereafter, That needs to be widely communicated in all official languages, on social media. He actually cites Twitter, Facebook by way of examples, national and provincial newspapers and radio stations. And so, in a sense, the lawyers, and I spoke to them a lot leading up to this case, they threw the kitchen sink at the courts. They were hoping for a minimum declaration of the rights, and that would have been a thumbs up for advocate Tembeka Nkatobi and his juniors and the attorney involved, Vicar Stale. But actually the judge went far further than even they, in their wildest imagination, had thought that he would go, by also granting the controversial parts, which they as a team secretly had lots of behind-the-scenes debates about whether they are trying too much of their luck with the extra prayers. Because to specify operational matters from the bench is something that many judges might not have done, which also raises the question of whether the state will feel ashamed, implement the judgment to the letter, or whether it might, in part, appeal those aspects that probably in law are reasonably contestable.
What I find quite surprising, in fact shocking, UB, is that at the beginning we heard the South African National Defence Force Union call for an immediate suspension of all of those who went into Colin Khoza's yard and allegedly, you know, engaged in an assault which resulted in his death. And to date, they have not been suspended or investigated. It's shocking that a court should have had to specify that this action must take place.
That is absolutely right, Joanne, and this is probably the single most important point that you have raised. Transparency and accountability and a culture of justification do not go through the window just because we are operating under the Disaster Management Act at the moment. And it's so critical for citizens to not be hoodwinked into thinking that the brute application of force is justified at this time. And in a sense, the early part of the judgment, you and I and the media will report on the last two pages, which is the court order. But the first part of the judgment is worth reading. You don't need a law degree to understand it. The court was at pains, Joanne, in morally robust ways to remind this state of ours what the moral foundations of our democracy are. And in a sense, this is one of the finest judgments from Judge Hans Fabricius in an impeccable career. And if this came from the Concord and People's Faith, Justice Mogoeng had delivered it, we would be talking about the early part of the judgment as much as the court order. And so your point is absolutely, absolutely correct. The reason why there's a cost finding against the state was precisely because the court wants to underscore its disdain for a democratic government that is not complying with the most fundamental rights in the Constitution. And so the point that you've just raised is certainly not trivial or minor or a sideshow. In the bigger scheme of themes that come out of this judgment, the moral critique of the state with which the judge started before we got to the main meal that people tend to report on because that's the easiest part to report on. In a sense, that's probably the more important because that is a conversation with the other branch of government about the importance of making sure that it takes moral and political principles as seriously as the principle of legality.
Eusebius Makhiza, thank you so much for your analysis and insight into that judgment. Eusebius Makhiza, presenter of the Mid-Morning Show.